Okay, all right, so we're on top.
I could put the voices to them.
All right, this is a little familiar that way. Okay, we're on Daf Lamed Tet today. I'll go over a little bit of Gemara from yesterday, and then we'll take it over. So if you remember, yesterday we were talking about whether with shlakot, with vegetables are boiled, does one continue to make the bracha bori pri hadama, or is it shakol niyavidvaro? And then the Gemara wanted to bring a proof that that Rabbi Yochanan says it's bori pri ha'adama, and one of the proofs was that he ate the olive and he made a bracha before and afterwards, and we thought that the bracha afterwards would have to be only if it was bori pri ha'adama, and then the Gemara said no, it could be bori nefashot. So the Gemara says, the bottom line on Lamed Chen Mem Beis, welcome Daniel, haven't seen you around in a while either. So Amar Le Rabbi Yirmi Le Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Yirmi says, Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yochanan Heichem Mevarech Al Zayim Maliach, how could he have made a bracha chrona for Zayit Maliach? Zayit Maliach was the salted olive, and that was the idea that it was like Mavushal, but how could he have made a bracha for it? Yeah, a chrona came with the Shkilu the Garine Batzer Leishur. Once you take away the pit, so it's Kizayit, but now I take the pit, it's not Kizayit anymore. So how could he make a bracha chrona? So the Mimashir for a bracha chrona is Kizayit. And if you look at Rashi, the top Rashi, Batzer Leishur, Vagabi Birkat Peirot Haaretz, Achila Ktiva, Vachila Bekzayit, by Birkat Peirot Haaretz. So it says achila. He means he's talking about presumably the pasuk that it says, you know, v'achal t'pesvat v'rach l'Hashem elokecha, and it says v'achila has to be kizayit. So on the top line of the Gemara, so Amar Lei misaber kizayit gadol ba'inan kizayit beinoni ba'inan. He says, did you think that you need like a very? This is Rabbi Zeira answering Rabbi Yirmi. Did you think like you need a big kizayit? You need the medium sized kizayit. He says va'ika, and some take out the words va'ika because it's superfluous. He says v'ahu da'aitu l'kamid Rabbi Yochanan zayit gadol ha. So they brought him a big olive, like more than the shear, the avagav the shaklu the garinu te, even though they took away the pit, pashle shiur. He still had enough of a shear over to which to make a bracha chrona. Did not, because we learned the Mishnah Masechet Kalim, Zayit Sha'amru, when Chazal speak about a kesayis, kesayis is about an olive, and Rashi says, linen shir kol achila, linen shir for all achila, and achila, we take it as the kesayit. When it says achila in Torah, so that defaults over to being kesayit, usually. The Don Zayit Sha'amru, lo katan velo gadol, when the Chazal refer to a zayit, it's not a small zayit, it's not a big zayit, ela beinoni, medium, vizeu aguri. So it either means, pshat A, that the aguri zayit is an example of that which is medium, or it means the medium size aguri one is the one to use. But either way, you get the idea. They brought him more than the shear. He took out the pit, and he still had the right shear. But Amar Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Abahu said, Lo aguri shemo, the name of the olive is not really aguri, elav ruti shemo, but amri la samrusi shemo, but laman krash shemo aguri. Why is it called aguri? Aguri is like, sort of like, you know, a nickname they call it. She shamno agur betoko, because it's all is guarded inside of it. And if you look at Rashi, the second wide line upstairs, agur betocho, mizuman latzei mimenu, in other words, it's prepared to like be released from it. She'enu nivla bepri, kamashka tepucha metutim. It's not like in the flesh of the fruit, like the apple, he says, and berries. El agur kamashpe anavim. It's, you know, it's like grapes. In other words, like the open the grapes, so it starts like spilling out, that type of thing. So, let's see. Now, let's take a look at the top Tosfos for a moment. It says, Batzer la shiura, so the top Tosfos alam et hedam et al. So he says, Hainu, davke becharacha shala achrav, zeva'inan shir. It was for bracha chrona, I require shir. Aba bracha shalafanav, afilu pachot mikashir, asurle inopa lama zevalo bracha. But for the bracha rishona, any amount, I have to make a bracha rishona, because I can't benefit from anything in this world without a bracha, bein lini nachila bein lini shtiyah, whether it's eating or drinking, ava bebracha shela achra bein lini shir melo lugmav. He says, did I skip anything? No. He said, did I skip something? Yeah, I'm sorry. Bein lini nachila bein lini shtiyah. Right. Ava bebracha shela achra bein lini shir melo lugmav. Al kain. In other words, if it's a drink, you need a melo lugmav. That must fill your cheeks. Al kain. She says, stop me. Kol shel bracha melo lugmav. So here Tosfos is saying the shear for a bracha chrona for a drink is melo lugmav. We hold that a person should be machmir to revius. In other words, we hold that you should try to have a revius before. In other words, we're always machmir to have a revius in order to definitely be machayev you. A revius. So a revius. Yeah. So So Revias is a beitz omechta, an egg and a half. And Melo Ludmav is more than a kezias. So a beitz and a half would be like three kezasim. So Melo Ludmav would be more than a kezayat, but less than a revias. So that's the way that's coming out. All right.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
One thing we'll just try is think about the measures. The kezias then is the mount that the olive displaces, or the meat of the olive?
Yeah, but it's the flesh. The flesh. Not the pit.
So therefore, if you use the whole olive, it would be
right.
More than kezias.
Right. That's the way it seems like. Right? That's what it seems okay. Like. Yeah. That's what it
so
seems.
So kezias is not a kezias. It's the flesh of that.
Right. That's what it seems okay. Like.
Yeah. I mean, there's a svara that it takes three or four kezias for a beitzah.
So there's a machloket, and did you see something printed like that?
Yeah, Rabbi Chaim showed me.
Okay, there's a machloket Rishonim, whether a kebeitza is, a kezias is shlish beitza or a chatzi beitza. Well, I don't know about the four, but in other words, there's either two kezesim for an egg or three kezesim for an egg, and that's the way it's going. All right, now let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so again, so our topic is, any other questions? Everybody good? Okay, so our topic is shlakot. If I take a vegetable and then I boil it, does it go down in a bracha or stay the same? Does it stay bori pri adam or is it shakol nivaro? So the Gemara says, neima ketanai. Should we say, so we were discussing all the shitot, and all the shitot were from Amoraim, right? We had Rav and Rabbi Yochanan in the first lashon of the Gemara. Then we had Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan in the second lashon of the Gemara. So now the Gemara wants to say, neima ketanai. Should we say, what bracha to make on shlakot is really a machloka tanaim. Dehanau trei talmidei dehabu yafei coming to bar kapara. There were two talmidim sitting before bar kapara. Bar kapara is a tana, the talmidim are also tanaim. Heviu lefanav kruv dormaskin upargiot. So they brought before bar kapara kruv is cabbage, cooked cabbage, and dormaskin they said is orange. They said mountain spinach. He says upargiot. They said porridge, it means like meat, pargiot. So again, so we have shlakot, the kruv and dormaskiot are shlakot, which would be, we don't know, but it's either bori pri adam or shakol nivaro, because it's cooked. And the pargiot is the meat, that's a shakol nivaro. Natan bar kapara reshut l'chamihem livarech. So bar kapara gave reshut to one of his two talmidim to recite the bracha. Kafatu birech ala pargiot. So he rushed and he made a bracha on the meat, on the poultry. Ligleib alav chaveiro, so his chaver, let's say it's Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven makes a bracha on the pargiot. So Shimon mocks him. He says, like, ligleib alav, in other words, he's mocking him, in other words, presumably that he should have made the bracha on the cabbage, right? Or some of the vegetables. So ka'as bar kapara, so bar kapara got angry, amar, lo mavarech ani koes, elo hamalagleg ani koes. He said, I'm not angry at the one who recited the bracha. You think it was so terrible, the bracha that he did first. I'm angry at you for mocking him. He says, im chavercha dome kemishlo tam tam basar meyolam, if he's like somebody who hasn't eaten meat before, meaning, apparently, since he recited the bracha on the meat was more chaviv to him. It was chaviv is one element in kedim and brachot. That was more like chashuv to him. It was more like he prefers that. So he says, "Atal malaglan talav." So why were you angry? Then chazar va'amar. Then bar kapara said, "Please." Then bar kapara said, "Chazar va'amar." Lo alam lag legani koes, elam varechani koes. I'm not angry at the one who is doing the mocking. I'm angry at the one who is making the bracha. It doesn't sound like either one is in such good shape. It says, I'm hanging with the one making the bracha. Va'amar im chachma inkan zikna inkan. In other words, why did he make a bracha without asking me which thing to make a bracha first? In other words, so if he's not machzik me, bar kapara, that I'm a big tamid chacham, which he was, but still zikna was, I'm still old, so if I don't have, like, look at Rashi, zikna inkan, lo zakenani, I'm old. So in other words, I'm a chacham and I'm zol. V'hayelu shaleini, yaleizim hini varech leftor et sharaminim. He should have asked me which one to make the bracha first. It was varim halalu einim bayim la peded apat. So he wants to say, presumably this is part of a meal, but it's not coming on account of the bread, so they're going to have a separate bracha for it. So now back in the Gemara, Tana taught in a braisa, ushneim lo tzi ushnatan. Neither one lived out the year. In other words, they weren't showing proper derech eretz, so neither one lived out the year. So now we have this story. Now again, so the food that's on the table are two cooked vegetables and meat. So my laba hakimiflagi, is it not that the point of dispute between the two Talmidim we think is as follows? The Mivarech Savar Shlaku Pargyo Chakul Nibivaro, that the one who recited the bracha, he thought that the vegetables are also shakul. So they have two vegetables, that's shakul, it's cooked vegetables, and they have the meat, which is shakul. Hilka chavivadiv. So then, if it's all the same bracha, so I'm going to go with the one that's chaviv. That'll have priority. That's what the Mavarit Ruvain in my example. Umalag like Savar, Shimon in my example, held shlakot borei priyadama. He thought the shlakot is borei priyadama. So that's borei priyadama. Pargiot shekol nivaro. And the pargiot, the poultry, shekol nivaro. Hilkach pera adif. And therefore, who's is that you? Who's making the thing with that? Who's
probably somebody's phone.
So hilarious. Okay. Hilkach Peira Adif. Okay, therefore the vegetable was more priority. So if we assume this way, so it's a machloket tanaim. We're trying to figure out what bracha does one recite on shlakot. So we're trying to extrapolate from this story that one Talmud felt shlakot was shakol nivaro, and the other Talmud felt that it was borei pri adama, and that's why they had this machloket, which bracha to make first. So if that's the case, then we've moved it up a couple of generations to the zman tanaim. So the Gemara says lo. The Gemara says, no, it could be that everybody holds everything is shahakol. But here, the machloket was concerning the svara. Mar savar chadvadi. One holds that which is I like the best, that has priority. That's the one who recited the bracha on the pargiot. Umar savar kruva adiv dizayin. One holds that the cabbage had priority. So in other words, it's coming out that not just, in other words, bedafka, you had to make the bracha on the cabbage. He says design, because it gives sustenance. So the Gemara later on quotes on Daf Mem Dalid, the Gemara has a brisa, and the Gemara says, one second. Okay, please, you're on recording now. Okay, he says, one second. Was it Mem Dalid? One second. Anyway, this brisa that says that the kruv, yeah, here it is. One second. Yeah, it's on the fifth white line on Mendelman Bays. Kruv lamazon utrad in the refuah. Kruv, the cabbage, is like good for sustenance. So he felt that notwithstanding the fact that everything is shakul and you like this chaviv more, he felt that the kruv gives sustenance and that gives that priority. That's what's coming out.
Once it does not give you sustenance?
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about that. But this is what the Gemara wants to say. That's the way the Gemara takes it. Okay, now let's just take a look. Let's just do one more Tosfos, okay? And then I'll pause. Okay? Look at the Tosfos chaviv adif, okay? So chaviv means like the one that's like he likes the best. Chaviv, v'chein halacha Tosfos says, im yesh lo shnei minei peirot lefanav, chavivadiv. He said, if I have two fruit, so I should take the one that I like best, I guess you'd think it normally, but that's a matter of halacha he wants to say. Ubore priyadama adifa mishekol nivaro. But he says, if one is borei priyadama, that has priority over shekol nivaro.
Even if you like the shekol more. But
let's see the v'retfe. V'chashuv ala asma. What's his word? Chashuvah asma mikri. Yeah, chashuvah asma mikri. That's called chashuv. In other words, if it's borei priyadama, it's called chashuvah. Vivarech lo tomin shaykol priyadama. Afal pi shotomin sheish levarech lav shakol chaviv lav. Even though the shakol he likes better, but the borei priyadama gets priority. If everything is the same bracha, I have different fruits, and one fruit is shiva aminim. I should do the shiva aminim first, okay? Right.
But if he doesn't want to eat the Adama, he does not want to eat the Pekotin Shachom Eretz Israel, he has a right. I just want to eat chicken. I just want to shakol. I have no obligation. Over here, why were they so upset with him? He made the bracha on
the both.
No. In other words, if he's going to eat two items, then we have a priority between the two items. That's what we're talking about. All right.
So what happened?
To who?
I have another question. How does Adif and Tafel compare with Chaviv? Does it track each other?
Who mentioned Adif? Who said Adif and Tafel? Where'd you get that from?
No, Tafel and Ikar and Tafel.
So right. Ikar and Tafel, that's more in terms of sometimes I only make one bracha on an item. In other words, let's say I'm having a sandwich, a salami sandwich. So the Ikar is the bread and the salami is a Tafel. So I only make one bracha, motzi lechem min ha'aretz.
Why are you saying that the Ikar is the bread, where maybe Adif is the basar?
Yeah, so this
comes up with sushi.
No, there's a presumption at law that bread is always the Ikar. If you're having a meal, bread is the Ikar.
So there's a pecking order.
Right,
so
clearly.
So the minim, the bread, the gefen, supposed to go with the most specific person.
So I mentioned in the preceding days you weren't around, but I mentioned that, mitoch b'yirchotav shel adam, nikarim vorhu im tamir chachamhu. That from the person's bracha, it's not so simple to establish all the priorities of bracha, but we're getting little pieces of it. So what we have so far is if you have different brachot for different items, and you're going to have all different items, so the more specific bracha item comes first. That's
right.
The first thing.
Right.
Then if everything is the same bracha, then if it's the same bracha, but some things are shivat minim, some not, shivat minim comes first.
Right.
Then we said that everything's the same bracha, we don't have shivat aminim, so I'm going to do the chaviv first. Okay?
So we have a case where the bread is tafel to dagmaliach. So not always is the bread more important.
So, which was this case with Dan Malik? Which was this?
I don't know if we got to it at this point or not, but at some point...
All right, this I don't know. This I don't know.
We don't recall seeing that.
I don't recall seeing it at Bechlau, but all right.
But so this came up on the top.
Maybe it is.
All right, let's hear Robert.
Towards the end, there was this thing about if you base your meal... bread,
right.
And once you make a motzi, it covers everything.
With limitations.
All right, so this was my question, which was, what's the rationale behind that? In other words, if on Shabbos, for example, you have one tzayis of
bread,
you make a motzi, and then the rest of the meal involves chicken, this, that,
right,
food.
Right.
Covered.
Right.
What's the premise of this?
Yeah, in other words, the idea is that...
Almost like you're saying, instead of having to worry about making 40 brachas, you just pick one...
Well, that's the way it is working out. In other words, it's saying that everything is accompanying the bread. The bread is the chief item of the meal. That's what, in essence, what you're saying. Even if you just eat a kasad, the bread is the chief item of the meal. But even with that, we've discussed already that when you finish the meal and then you're having things for dessert, but you should try to have bread with that, and then you continue it on. Okay.
To follow up on his question, though, is it preferable then? Because it's good to make bracha,
right?
But you can't make unnecessary bracha. Is it preferable to have all these things before the bread? No, it's not wash.
Again, you don't want to be going with bracha shein etzricha. So I wouldn't plan a scheme of action where I'm going to create more brachot. Right. I think it's better the other way around. Okay.
One last thing. Shiva minim. If you have grapes, I always taught that you do the grapes first. If there's other,
so there's, other so, so it's again, it's not so pashut within the shiva minim. We'll come to see that there's eretz is mentioned. In the
right.
Pasuk, Eretz Chitav Surav again. So it depends how close it is to the word Eretz. But
okay,
so let's just hold off, okay? Now, let's see back in the Gemara. Everybody with me? Okay. I'm getting it. I'm a Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said, Ki havinan be Rav Huna. When we were in the base medrash of Rav Huna, Amarlan, he, Rabbi Zeira said, Rav Huna said to us, Hani gargalidi delifta, the heads of radishes. Parminum prima rabba, if they're cut large cut, in other words, they're diced large pieces, borei pri ha'adama. Then the bracha is borei pri ha'adama. Now, Rashi says this is not cooked. Parima zuta, if they're diced into very small pieces, shakol ni'ebidvaro. Then it goes down, shakol ni'ebidvaro. So let me see. B'chi atan lebei Rav Yehuda. When we came to the Beis Medrash for Rav Yehuda, Amar Lan, he said to us, "Idi bi idi bori pri adama." Whether it's dice large or dice small, it's bori pri adama. B'hai de parminu tfei. The reason is chopped up like well diced. Ki heichid dinim tame. So it gives it like a better taste. So there's different ways to understand the sugya, but one way that we could understand the sugya is that the first, this Rav Huna, is taking the view that, like the toar, in other words, like the outline of the vegetable is important. So when it's like big pieces, I still see like I get the sense that it's like from this radish. If it's chopped up to insy bitsy little pieces, the whole toar is destroyed. So he felt it goes down to shekel nivaro. That's what he felt. And the other mandamar said we're going to go with taste. The taste is apparently improved when it's chopped up small. So either way, it's bori pri ha'adama. Okay. Now, Amar Ravashi said ki avinan be Rav Kahana. When we were in the base medrash of Rav Kahana, Amar Lan, he said to us, tafshila de silka. This is like it sounds like a borscht, like cooked beets. The lomav shuba kimcha that don't have a lot of flour in it. It was a concoction of beets and flour, so don't have a lot of flour in it. That's bori pri ha'adama. I make the bracha bori pri ha'adama. Okay, this gets the ikar and tafel you were talking about, right? He says the lift the lomav shuba kimcha tfein. But if I have a concoction with a lot of flour in it, then it's bori mini mizonot. In other words, then the flour becomes the ikar, and I make the bracha bori mizonot. Vahada amar. He said, "Idi bi idi bori pri adama." Then he said that they're both bori pri adama. Behind the shari by kim chetfein, the fact of so much flour was put in the dibuki ba alma avila. That was just so that it should all cling together, right? Please, okay, everybody, let's just think the questions. Okay, don't want to say that. Okay, so it gets into the issue. Do I have a food item because I want to eat the item? It adds to the taste, or is it just adding to like the texture of the item? Like I've spoken about, let's say you have meatballs, right? So the meatballs have matzah meal in them. So do I make a hamotzi or mizonot on meatballs? No, because the meatballs, the matzah meal is just so that all will hold together. That's the way. So sometimes if the additive is just coming so everything will stick together, so then, right, like a binder, so then I doesn't get a bracha by itself. The other thing is still the ikar. But so initially he thought that like the flour that was going in was for the taste and things like that, and then he realized it's for the dibuk, and so he said it's shakul. Then he said it's what was the bracha bori pri adama, right? Okay, bori pri adama. Okay, everybody,
good. All those things on Pesach that are from potato starch,
right?
They're like pure potato starch,
right?
For the bracha,
right?
That's a shakul, right? So when you grind it down enough so you don't recognize it as the potato. Or potato chips would be
shakal. Right? Well, right. This gets into again. Brachot are very complicated. We've been talking about it this whole week. All the questions of brachot have become very, very complicated. We saw last night. I think we saw that according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, you make the bracha bori pri hadama on chocolate bar. Yeah. So you see, it's not so. Yeah. He held the cocoa, but other poskim hold the shakal nivavaro. But the idea is when something, the simple answer is if it's something is so crushed that I don't recognize the original item anymore, like let's say you have applesauce, like commercially sold applesauce, so even though it's from an apple, the bracha is shahakol niyabidvaro, okay?
But mashed potatoes is still adama, though, right?
So mashed potatoes, I got to look up mashed potatoes.
What did we come up with?
Oh, it was adama.
Adama, right? That's why
all
I
right.
understand why.
Right.
What applesauce would be shahakol?
But applesauce that you make at home. That has big chunks.
Yeah.
But if you get rid of the
yeah.
chunks.
But he's saying, they're saying, what about mashed potatoes?
There should be a parallelism between.
Yeah, I got to look into it.
Yeah, and don't forget, even with mashed potatoes, it's probably also been cooked, even.
Right.
Whereas the apples, so I would have thought it would have gone down, but it doesn't go down.
Potatoes that are cooked, we make a bori pri adama on.
Applesauce is cooked.
In other words, potato that's cooked, we make bori pri adama on.
Right.
Okay.
Even if you smooth it.
Okay. I tell you the truth, I think that in our country, I think even if you would bake an apple, you make a bori pre-hayitz on it, because I think people normally eat it that way.
All right,
let's take a look.
Rabbi, if you use flour for binding,
right,
and at the same time it does give it taste,
I need to hear the case.
Comes up with onion rings.
The crumbs.
Rabbi talked about this.
So what did he say?
He said if it's a thick crust, right, a thick batter.
Mizono,
then maybe,
Mizono?
Yeah, then you might have to do
Mizono. All right, let's see.
Most of the time he said the meat is the key or the onion.
All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, okay.
Take some bread, make
okay, everyone with me? Okay,
it's
now.
Very tough.
Okay, now we have a around 10 lines above where it gets wide. Okay, so Amar Rav Chisda. By the way, let me just briefly. The theme for Masechet Brachot is Shabbos, March 6th, which is the weekend with Rav Lerner, is the whole deal. So then we can't do anything at Shal Shudas. But I'm thinking what we could do. And think it over. We could have like a little museum in one of the rooms upstairs where we do either fruit or some mazonos or whatever we did in the past.
Test on brachos.
Right. That'll be it. We'll bring the fruit bowl out, and whoever knows how to say whoever knows how to make the bracha properly. Right. Okay. That'll be the way it works. Okay. Then we can have some sushi, and we'll see what bracha does the person make on the sushi. Okay. Now let's take a look. So the Gemara says, so does that sound good with everybody, what I said? Yeah. Okay. Amrav Chista, Tavshel Shel Tzuradin. So he says, a cooked dish of beets. Yafel, this is your department, Michael. Yafel Lev, it's good for the heart. V'tov Leinayim, it's good for the eyesight. V'choshkin Levenei Be'ayim, and certainly for the intestines. Amar Abaye, v'hu diyati v'bei tafei v'abit tuch. Provided that it's well cooked, that it sits on the stove, and it's like boiling until it makes the sound, tuch. So it's like well cooked item. You want to say anything about that, Michael? What? Well, it's B'nai Me'ayim is the intestine, but what about the eyesight and the heart, anything? All right.
Vitamins.
That's carotene. Carotene.
Vitamins.
All right, now.
Carotene and beets.
All right, now, let's take a look. Now, Amara Papa, Pshitali, Rapapa says, it seems clear to me, Maya de Silka Kisilka. If I have, like, the water that the beets have been boiled in, that water, that soup, gets the same bracha as the beets. So if I make a bracha, Bori Pri Adama, on the beets, I'd make it on the soup around it. Umaya delifta klifta. If I have water in the woods, like the soup the turnips were cooked in, also the same bracha. Umaya de kulushalki kulushalki. And the water of all the vegetables are that way. Now, let's look at Tosfos. Three lines above where it gets wide. Okay, hang tight. Okay, so I think Tosfos thought about this question before you. Okay, Maya de silka kisilka. It says, Mavarchin alei bori pri adama. So you make a bracha bori pri adama on this, like, soup. Even though it's just like liquid, so in other words, even though I didn't read it right, but it says it just says mayim v'tama yirakot. In other words, it's water, but it has the taste of the vegetable. So I make the bracha like I make on the vegetable itself. Now, so what Tosfos is bothered about, which many Rishonim are bothered about, I need silence, okay? Is in the earlier sugya, we said that the juice that comes from fruit and vegetables, or fruit from fruit, that's just moisture, and you make a shakol nivaro. So Tosfos says, yesh l'chalik, we can be mechalik. So it's not too clear what Tosfos means. But, now there's a lot of different hezberim. Now the Pnei Yoshua concludes, Pnei Yoshua says that there's a difference, see, with the vegetable, I have the vegetable sitting in the soup. So somehow the vegetable sitting in the soup, that gives a greater chashivus to the soup, and I make a bori pri adam in the soup. But with the juice, like the item is like gone, history, and then it's just the juice around. So that's the way you taste it that way. Now, other Rishonim have different answers. Let me see over here. One second. Give me one second, then I'll open up the floor, okay? So, one second. Yeah. So he quotes from the Rashba. So the Rashba says it depends how the fruits of the vegetables are normally eaten. Vegetables used in vegetable soups are generally cooked and eaten in that manner. In other words, when I grow the vegetable, So I understand in my mind it may be used for like a vegetable soup. He says, thus the soup form is one originally envisioned by the planter, and the vegetable status, the vegetable retains the status. Fruits, on the other hand, are generally eaten intact and not squeezed for their juice. So, you know, let's say I have a peach, so I don't normally squeeze the peach, so therefore, thus the juice of the fruit or its soup is no longer the form originally envisioned by the planter, doesn't qualify as the fruit of the tree. Then he goes on, he says, though, according to this explanation, this is in the article, footnote 32, according to this explanation, the juice of fruits originally planted for the juices, like juice oranges, would retain the status of fruit and would be the bracha bori priya eitz. So this Hesber is saying it depends on what your intent was when you planted the item. Okay? Then he quotes from the Rush. Now, the Rush, again, I told you, this thing with brachot, it sounds simple when you get into it, but the more you get into it, you see it's less and less simple and more complicated. Now, he quotes the Rush here. The Rush explains the difference between soups and juices lies in the fact that the vegetables for the soups are cooked, whereas the fruit for the juices are squeezed. The soup absorbs the full flavor of the cooked vegetables and therefore retains the bracha bori pri adama. Juices, however, which are made from squeezed fruit, do not have the same flavor as the actual fruit and is therefore considered zeh ba'alma and requires sha'akol, according to the Rush. According to the Rush, fruit juices that are made from cooked fruit, such as prune or fig juice, retain the bracha of the fruit and require the bracha bori pri
ha'etz. It's something in the cooking process, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So right, so it's a different flavor.
So Pesach, we make our charoset,
right?
And we cook the dates first.
You mean only dates, or
yeah,
or
only dates?
Only dates.
We're actually putting some walnuts sometimes. That's really dates,
right?
And so we cook the dates a lot.
All right, fine.
To get the water of it out, and then they squeeze it. But it's cooked already, so it means if I just had that charoset, it'll be bo priates. It sounds like.
If you just had it, so he, let me see, go back again with this Rush.
We get a liquid, we get a thick.
Yeah. Why would you make hearts?
Because it's cooked. He says it cooks, so like a cooked fruit, like a cooked vegetable.
That's a vegetable.
No, but he says it's not for me, it's the cooking.
He says here, according to the Rush, fruit juices are made from cooked fruit. In other words, when I cook it, so the juice gets the full flavor of the fruit, just the prune or fig juice, they still get the bracha bori priya eitz. So according to that svarim, it would sound like, according to that way that it's coming along. But the only thing, right? So is there a juice that comes from dates? They get the honey from dates, yeah. So that sounds like it would be bori pri eitz, right? That's what it sounds like.
The kids like to have it with all.
The kids just like it as a syrup outside the Seder. It's delicious.
Yeah. I mean, then the question is, so if I'm dipping the maror in the charosa, the maror is bori pri adama, the charosa is bori pri eitz.
Yeah.
So according to the Rush, Mustama wouldn't dip his well, this is one sheet.
Don't you take off the charosa?
You dip it in
and
you shake
it,
but some still stay on. Some are supposed to think
stuff. That's an ikar and a tafel, I think.
You know, but it's not so simple because one is a more specific bracha. In other words, like.
But you're shaking.
But you made a motzi already.
All right, I'm gonna move on. Okay, now.
You made a motzi.
I told you the bracha would be very complicated. Now let's see further. Now.
So the broth of a vegetable soup, the broth,
right,
just
right.
The water.
Right, it's saying that it gets the bracha of the vegetable. Right.
Adama.
Okay, now.
Tomato soup.
Okay, now. All right, let me get through this. Okay, now. We're four lines before it gets white. So by Rapapa posed the following question. Maya de shifta amai. Now, Maya de shifta is dill. Let's say I cook dill in water. So what's the halacha? Please.
Yeah.
Okay. Lamatuki tama avdi. Is it made like to give like a nice taste to another food, in which case it would be bori pri adama? In other words, we're trying to figure out what bracha is the water here. Oh, la aburi zuma avila, or is it made just to take away the bad odor from another dish? So if it's just made to take away the bad odor, no bracha would be made on it. So tashima, so we bring a quote from the proof from the following brisa. The Mishnah, from a second Uksin. Hashevet, shevet is the dill. Mishanatna tambik deiroa iba mishum truma. In other words, like you have a stalk of dill, and I stick it in a cooked dish, and then it gives the taste of the dill to the dish, and then I pull the stalk out. The stalk has been drained of its tam, so the stalk's like a piece of wood now. So he says iba mishum truma. So that stalk doesn't have the status of truma. Veina matama tumin oakland. It's not subject to an oakland because it's like already used. But the point is, that the Mishnah says Mishnah Tam Mekdeira. The purpose is to give a Tam in the Mekdeira. So he says Shma Minah Lebatuki Tama Abdila Shma Minah. So from here we can deduce that the purpose of the dill is to give a taste in the Mekdeira, and the Maya of the what is it, Maya the shift, it would also be Bori Priyaha Dama. All right. Okay, now let's go further. All right, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi. Rav Chiya Barashi says, Patsanuma b'ka'ara b'varka l'hamotzi. Now, Patsanuma is a machloka what Patsanuma means, but it means like very dry bread, dry broken pieces of bread, which he puts in a ka'ara because he wants to pour some liquid on it so he can eat it. In other words, it's so dried out. But the key is that it's broken pieces of bread. So mevarkel la hamotzi. So you make a bracha of hamotzi on that bread. Upligat Rebbe Chiya. That means one could recite hamotzi on that bread. Upligat Rebbe Chiya. This is in contradistinction to the opinion of Rebbe Chiya. The Amar Rebbe Chiya tzarich shetichla bracha imapat. Rebbe Chiya says that when I complete the bracha, I have to break the bread. In other words, I have a loaf of bread, and then as I'm completing the bracha, I'm breaking the bread. So the bread will be broken when I complete the bracha, is the way Rebbe Chiya is learning. So he's saying that I shouldn't make hamotzi on these broken pieces of bread, because Rebbe Chiya says I should break the bread as I conclude the bracha. So he says, Makif lo Rava. So Rava asks, Maishnat snuma delo mishum dechi kalya bracha aprusa kakalya kakalya. So he says, why is snuma no good? Because when you finish the bracha, you're finishing the bracha on a broken piece of bread. In other words, in both cases, when I'm done with the bracha, I have a broken piece of bread. So he says, so what difference does it make one way or the other way? So Ella, turn page on the top line. Ella amarava mivarech v'charkach botzea. So Rava says one should recite the bracha and then break or cut the bread. In other words, complete the whole bracha and then cut or break the bread. He says, Neherdoi Abdi Rebbe Chiya. The Neherdians follow Rebbe Chiya, which that was to make the break the bread with the conclusion of the bracha. He says, Rabbanan Abdi Rava. The Chachamim follow Rava to break the bread after the bracha. So Amar Ravina. Ravina said, Amar Liam, my mom told me, Avuch Avid Rebbe Chiya, the Amar Rebbe Chiya, Tzarich Shetichla Bracha Imapat. He says that your father followed Rebbe Chiya, that he broke the bread with the conclusion of the bracha. Rabbanan Abdi Rava. But the Chachamim follow Rava. In other words, that sounds like part of her statement, that the Chachamim follow Rava, which is that you make the break it afterwards. Yeah. V'hilchata k'rava, the amar varefa harkat botzeya. So Lacha follows Rava, that first one says, hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz, and then one breaks or cuts the bread. Okay, let's see Tosfos, and then we'll talk a little bit, and I've got to keep moving. Okay. V'hilchata k'rava, the top Tosfos, everybody have it. V'hilchata k'rava, the mavarefa harkat botzeya, peyrushul yafrisha prusim napad, Adachar bracha. So Tosfos says the pshat is that, in other words, the slice will be cut, but not entirely. And then when I make the bracha, then I'll pull the slice away from the challah. It's not talking about Shabbos, it's just in general. V'yesh nogim levarach bir kanamotzi, kodem shiach toch, k'dei shtei apat shleima b'shat bracha. Tosfos says some have the minhag not to even cut the pot. In other words, like imagine a roll, not to even cut it until I complete the bracha. He says, so the pot will be totally complete at the time of the bracha. Ve'ina minag nachon la sotkein. He says, I don't think that's correct, Tosfos says. Da'be hesech hada'at bein bracha l'achila. Because there's too much of a hesech hada'as, too much of an interruption between the bracha and eating. Now, let's go slowly again. With this earlier thing, again, Rebbe Chiya said, I'm going to break the bread with the conclusion of the bracha. He doesn't want to have a hefsek where I make the bracha and then I'm breaking or cutting the bread. He doesn't want to do that. So breaking it before, like as I conclude the bracha. And the other one holds, no, at the time I complete the bracha, I want it to be whole. So the Gemara said that the halacha is like Rava, that at the time that I complete it, it's whole. But Tosfos says, what does that mean? Tosfos says, I can have a slice and then break off that slice, you know, after the bracha. And he said, some people, he says, don't even want to slice the bread at all, but he, Tosfos, doesn't think that's right because it's going to make too much of a hesek. Now, let's see back in Tosfos, the fourth line. Umiyu v'shabat nachon lahachmir ulvarech kodem sheach toch. But on Shabbos, he says, it's good to be stringent, Tosfos says, and not to recite the bracha before I slice it, and to make the bracha before right. I slice it. In other words, if I begin slicing it before I complete the bracha, in other words, I might slice it all the way through, and then I'm done with, I'm history with Lecha Mishnah. So he thinks it's the better idea to slice it after the bracha. Anyway, halach l'maisa, at least on Shabbos, we hold that... I didn't look up the halakha recently, but on Shabbos we hold, a person usually, they take the knife, you mark the spot where you're going to cut, then you make the bracha, and then you cut it after the bracha. That's the way we do it on Shabbos.
And we're sweating, we don't have
to cut it. So break the bread, right.
Break it. Right. There's no cutting at all. Right. There's no simmer, there's no nothing. Right. It right. sounds like he's over here, it's breaking too. It's
all right, okay. Right,
why do you do the cut? The symbol.
Yes. Yeah, so in other words, to save time, you know where to put the knife, and you save a few seconds later
really
on.
Save time. They're not doing this. They just go like this. It's not really, no one really.
No, can. You make a little nick in the challah.
They want to say cut
there.
They
can't find.
No,
it.
That's why. That's where you. That's where you're supposed to cut where the nick is. If you're not cutting where the nick is, there's no purpose to making the nick.
Right.
So that's where we put in the nick for.
That's why the pshat that they have challah in a way that's very easily separable.
All right.
Breakaway.
All right. We're running out of time. We got to keep moving. I'm sorry. Okay. Now the fifth line from the top. Now I don't. You know. Malka asked a question last night, but she's not here tonight, about the, she was talking about the bagels, and she said last night that Sephardim make a barim, Syrians make a barim, so I asked them the base medrash today. I'll tell you, what I love about the base medrash is a lot of Tamina coming around to ask. So I asked Rav Schechter, he said that there's a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim that says if something is boiled and then cooked, you make a bracha barim and mizonot. But he said that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that meant where it's like edible after it's boiled. Our bagels, they just stick it in the water briefly, then pull it out, and then they bake it. So it should only be hamotzi lachem in haaretz on the bagel. Yeah. And then I spoke to one of my Sephardic friends, Ike Sultan, and when I say he's a big Talmid Chacham, so he said he thought Sephardim should also make hamotzi lachem in haaretz. But he said that Sephardim do have this idea where it's like very sweetened and seasoned,
like egg bagel.
This is only for Sephardim, but even if Sephardim are making a bracha mizonos, if they're koveya suuda on it, so they have the shear, it should still be hamotzi. The only thing is that Sephardim, though, like, I gotta go on, but it's like we Ashkenazim, we hold that the bread is mitzarif with the other ingredients to also be koveya suuda. So I could have a little bit of the bread and a little bit of the mizonos and a lot of the other food, and I'm still koveya suuda, and I still have to make hamotzi. But Sephardim hold that they don't combine the other foods with that. Okay, I gotta move. Okay, we're the sixth line, fifth line. Okay, now Itmar. If you look named Petitin or Shleimim. Now, they brought before people, Petitin are broken pieces of bread, and Shleimim, and complete pieces of bread. So, now, he intends to eat both of them. So, Amar Avhuna, Mavarek al Petitin, and Potirat Shleimim. Now, the Petitin, we're going to say, are larger pieces. So, the Petitin, the broken pieces, are larger pieces, and the Shleimim are complete. Like a small challah roll, and a large cut of a challah. So Rav Huna says, "Mavarak l'petitin u'poter shleimim." You make the bracha on the petitin, and then you pack to the shleimim. Rav Yochanan Amar, "Shleimim mitzvah m'muvchar." Rav Yochanan holds, "No, mitzvah m'muvchar is the shan, the complete one." About prusa shalchitin u'shleimim shal se'orim. But if the prusa, if the cut one is wheat, and the shleima is barley, divrei kol mavarak l'prusa shalchitin u'poter shleimim shal se'orim. So again, we're learning the variables. So if one is wheat, that has priority over the barley loaf. Now, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Kitanoi. Yirmiyah always says, this machloket between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, whether to make bracha on the petitin or the shleimim, tracks the machloket tanoi. So the Mishnah says in Sechet Trumot, Tormin batzil katan shalem. Let's say I have to take truma, so I'm going to, it's better, more preferable, I'm taking truma for onions. This is more preferable that I take a complete onion as truma, of a lo chatzi batzel gadol, as opposed to half of a big onion. Even though the half of the big onion is larger than the small onion, it's more preferable that I take the small onion for truma, as opposed to the half of the big onion.
This is like Rabbi Yochanan.
We'll see in a minute. Right. So the batzel katan shalem, that's according to the Tzad, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said shalem.
Yeah,
so the first one, The first one is like Rabbi Yochanan. Right, not the Chatzi Batzel Gadol. Right. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Ki Ela Chatzi Batzel Gadol. You make the, you should do the Truma on the larger one. Larger one, yeah. So, my Laba HaKimifliki, is it not the Machlokas as follows? The Marsavar Chashavadif, that the second one that we quoted, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chashivos is important. Mm-hmm. So it means, like, in this case, it's the larger one, size. In the other one, it's also the larger one.
Slice.
It, yeah, Umarsavar Shalim Adif. And the other one holds that complete is Adif. So the Gemara says, no, not, the Gemara deflects the proof, okay? So the Gemara says, it could be that if there's a coin present, everybody would agree that it's more preferable that I give him the larger piece. He says, keep pleading like a coin. And the machloket in this Mishnah is talui that there's no coin around right away to give the truma to. So he says, did not, we learned in the prior Mishnah in the second truma, komakom sheish coin, torim in a yafeh, he says that if there's a coin around, so I take the truma from the yafeh, the nicer piece. So the nicer piece, in other words, would be like where the larger piece,
bigger.
The bigger piece. In other words, the Gemara is going to say, the chomakom she'ein koin torimin mitkayim. And if there's no coin around, then I should take the truma, the one that will last a longer time.
One.
The Gemara takes the whole one will last longer than the half one. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain't torim milam the yafeh. Rabbi Yehuda says that a person should always be torim from the yafeh, from the bigger piece. So if we do the Mishnah we did before, you know, in conjunction with this Mishnah, so it really means the so it could be that all these tanaim hold that the larger piece could be the chashuv one. But in this case, we're talking about where the coin's not around. So if the coin's not around, so right. So the Tanakama holds, I take the whole. And the second one holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds, I take the larger one. Okay, so now coming back to our Machloket, now this is between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan about whether to make a bracha on the pieces of bread or the whole bread. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yirei Shemayim Yotzei Dei Shneim. A person who's Yirei Shemayim will fulfill both ways. Umanu Mar Bereid Ravina. And who would be an example of that? Mar Bereid Ravina. The Mar Bereid Ravina, Maniach Prusa B'Tocha Shleima Ubotzea. He would take the, in other words, he's going to eat both.
What's the case? One whole?
He's got bread, he's got a broken piece of bread, it could be a larger piece, and he has a whole challah roll, and he's going to eat both of them. So which one should he say amotzi on? So Mar Bereid Ravina, in a situation like that, would take the prus of the broken piece, and patocha shleima means underneath the shleima. Put it underneath the shleima, ubotzeya, make hamotzi on both of them, and then Rashi learns, v'niach prus the tachat shleima, 6 lines from the bottom, v'nimsu shteyim biyado, botzeya, o mishteyim, he takes a piece from both of them, o min ha-shleima, or he takes from the shleima. Now, Tani Tana, coming to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Tana taught the following braisa before Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Maniacha prusa betocha shleima. One takes the prusa under the shleima ubotzei mevarech, and then he breaks it and he makes the bracha. So it means that it looks like he's making a bracha on the small piece as well. He definitely has to take a piece from the shleima, but if you want to take from the small piece, he could. But the key is, it looks like he's making a bracha on both of them. Now,
but it's only
let us wait 1 minute. One bracha, please. Wait. Okay. So now. Amar Lei Mashemecha. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to the Tzachem, what's your name? The one who quoted the Braisa. Amar Lei Shalman. He says, my name is Shalman. Amar Lei Shalomata. Your Shalom, your harmony, your name Shalman means like Shalom. Ushleima Mishnacha. Your teaching is complete. Shesamta Shalom Bein HaTalmidim. In other words, with this teaching, you create a Shalom among the Talmidim. All right, let me just do two more lines, and then I'll pause for a question or two, and then I'm going to run. So Amar Papa. Rav Papa says, Hakol Modim BePesach Shemeniach Prusa B'Tocha Shleima Ubotzeya. Everybody agrees that on Pesach a person puts Prusa B'Tocha Shleima, so it means the Prusa will be underneath the Shleima. In other words, when I'm making Hamotzi Lechman Aretz on Leil HaSeder, I'll take the Prusa underneath the Shleima Ubotzeya. My Taima Lechem Oni Ktiv. In other words, here we had two Shitot, Machloket Rabbi Huna Rabbi Yochanan. And the Braisa said, you'll be Yotzi both Shito. But everybody would agree, in other words, so it means that even Rabbi Yochanan would agree on Pesach that I should take the Prusa and put it onto the Shlema. Because on Pesach, he says you're supposed to eat lechem only, bread of affliction or poor man's bread. In the five lines to the bottom in Rashi, lechem only k'tiv b'dark mishalani b'prusa l'fichas tzirishi yira'ek both same in aprusa. So it has to appear at least that I'm making a bracha on the prusa. Now, so with the poskim, again, there's a lot of different shitot with this. You know, there's a famous machloket between the Rambam and the Rif and the other poskim. The Rambam and the Rif hold one has only two matzahs on Leil Seder, one complete and one broken, and you make a bracha on those two, and that's the way you do Leil Seder. So most of the poskim hold you have three matzahs, all right? And the Gra holds like that. The Gra holds like that Rif. The Gra holds you just do like the one and a half really matzahs. So the way the simple the main convention is that you have all three matzahs in your hand. You say Hamotzi Lechem and Haaretz because you want the two complete. And then you let the bottom one drop, and then you say the bracha, al achilat matzah. And then with the al achilat matzah, you eat a kezayis from the upper one and a kezayis from the middle one. And you eat two kezayisim at that point, okay? I don't have time to get into it right now. Okay, we have 30 seconds for your question. Which one is?
When you had the whole piece and the small piece.
Right.
And you made
one bracha. Right.
How could you know which one you were making it
on? Because the bracha's going on both. It looks like it's making both.
It sounded like you were supposed to prioritize.
So we had a machloket which one to do. So right. The Gemara says a Yirei Shamayim, one who fears heaven, should do like both.
Compromise.
I'll take both pieces of bread. I'll put them both together. Make a brach on both of them.
It's not allocated to either of
them. I'm making it on both. So, but then I could take a piece from both, or at least I have to take from the Shlema. That's the way it's coming out from the Gemara.
And if you don't take from the Shlema, you take from the one that is already produced.
In other words, you should take from the Shlema. Okay, now. Let's take a look. Now I think something Rav Lerner said, like sometimes you're at like an affair, you know, catering, and you want to make hamotzi, and they have by the wash station they have little pieces of bread, and then by your setting you have a whole roll. So it's more preferable to make the hamotzi on the whole roll than on the small pieces of bread. The only issue that gets into is sometimes how far away you're walking.
See it.
Yeah.
See it.
The only way you
could make small ones that are whole.
Or
you could bring the whole roll to where you're washing. I don't know what to say. Let's see further. Okay, I got around. We only have just so few minutes left. Okay, so six lines from the bottom. Now, Abba Rebbe Abba, Shabbat Chayav L'Tzoah Shteki Karot. On Shabbos, one's obligated to make a bracha on two complete loaves. Ma'itam Alecha Mishnah K'tiv. Amar Rav Ashi, Chazim Le'Rav Kahana, Denaki Tarti Batzachara. So we'll have this Gemara later on in Masechet Shabbos, which is the main place for it. Rav Ashi says, I observed Rav Kahana, he held onto both loaves, and he cut through one of them, or he broke one of them. He says, Rabbi Zeira have a batza akhul sheruta. Rabbi Zeira, now the way Rashi learns, he would cut or break a piece enough for the whole meal. So in other words, he's got two loaves and he breaks off a big piece of bread for it. That's the way Rashi learns. Now the Rashba learns that he cut through both loaves. So in other words, he had two complete loaves, he cut through both, now he's got four pieces. So in other words, so the idea is you'll do four at each meal, so at the end of Shabbos you'll have 12 loaves. And you ended up making a bracha over it. So it comes out like lechem apanim, where 12 loaves. You want your table like to be like lechem apanim, and it's zeh hashulchan. Zeh in gematria is 12. So he says here, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Kamechazi Krav Tanuta, but he's going to look like a voracious glutton if he's cutting such a big piece. Or you could say, according to Rashba, that he's cutting so many pieces. So Amar Le, so he said, came into Yomalo Ka'avid Hachi, since every day he doesn't do that the way, but in a Ka'avid, and now today he does it that way, Lomakazi Kirav Tanuti. It doesn't look like he's a voracious, gluttonous person. Rav Ami Ravasi, Kiav Mitramin Luhu Rifted to Eruva. Now, Rav Ami Ravasi, when they would have the bread for Eruve Chatzerot, in other words, you're making Eruve Chatzerot to permit you to carry in the whole Chatzer. So we do it with matzah and we leave it the whole year. But they would have, like, say, a bread, and they would use it for Shabbos, and then the next day they'd still have the bread. So when they would have that bread the next day that was used for the Eruv Chatzerot, so Mevarech Alei Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, they bedafka would say Hamotzi on the bread that had been used for the Eruv. Amri, they said, since one mitzvah was done with it, we're going to do another mitzvah with it. In other words, by making this Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Okay, let me just. We only have. Just, okay, just one minute. We'll do a few things with this, and that'll be it. Now, Taflamatet. Okay, now he's got a whole series of examples. When you do mitzvah with something, then you try to like double over with it. So he says, he says the tour notes the custom on Seder Shabbos to make blessed basanim on a hadasim from Sukkos. In other words, you should, now if you're making the bracha on the hadasim from Sukkos, so then it would be borei, I think, atzei basanim. Yeah, he says the reason being that since they have been used for one mitzvah, let them be used for again for such. The Beis Yosef quotes a custom of using the Hoshana from Sukkos. Use quills for writing the words and for fuel to burn the chametz. In other words, I can make a quill to write a Sefer Torah, he says, with the Hoshanot. I don't know about, but for burning the chametz. Others use the Hoshanot to fuel a fire to bake matzahs for Pesach. So that's another mitzvah. Others would use the lulav to fuel the fire to bake matzahs. Some would take the whole lulav bundle, lulav hadasim ravot, and use half to burn the chametz and half to bake matzahs. Sometimes when you're burning the chametz, you see people throw lulavim in there.
Yeah,
that you do see a little bit. Some have the custom of making a jam from the esrog of Sukkos to be eaten on Tu B'Shvat. So, and you ate it on Tu B'Shvat.
I didn't eat it, but
now, the Magen I got to run. The Magen Avraham writes that the detached fringes of tzitzis should be used as a bookmark. I was let's say, he says, the Taz references a custom that these detached tzitzis were used to attach colorful fabrics to the chair of the Bris Milah. This is cited by the Mishnah Brewer, that they would use like the broken piece of tzitzis to attach some sort of tapestry to the chair. Elsewhere. No. Again. Mistama. You forgot the Gemara Masechet Megillah. Tashmishei Kedusha Nignazim. Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrakin. It can be thrown in the garbage, leave it according to Halacha and the Gemara, but you try to do it with Kabbalah. That's talking about the tzitzis themselves. Now, elsewhere, the Magen Avraham writes that the Chanukah candles should be fashioned from the wax remaining from the candles in the synagogue. This is referenced by the Mishnah Berurah as a superior manner of filling the mitzvah. The Taz writes the name of Rav Shlomo Luria regarding Erev Tavshilin. The Maram customarily took the loaf of the Erev along with Lech HaMishnah both on Friday night and Shabbos morning. He would then eat the loaf for the Erev. In other words, he would take the loaf from the Erev and keep using it. So Friday night he's got it, and then he's eating one loaf, but not that one. Shabbos he takes loaf again, he's doing it. And then by Shalshutis he would eat it.
Why not so the Rebbe eat?
This is mentioned both by the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah. Mistama, there's a higher mitzvah eating it on Shabbos. Okay, the Tashbase records.
Would eat the leftovers then?
No, for Shalshutis he would eat it. Now, the Tashbase records that the individuals that act as witnesses for the signing of the ksuba should also act as the witnesses for the marriage ceremony. Since they've been used to perform one mitzvah, they should be used for and to perform another. However, others state that different individuals should be selected to witness the marriage ceremony, since the increase of witnesses is honorific for the bride and groom. Okay, that's it for tonight. I'll see you, Blee Netter, for another. Okay.